toss a rock to us, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat to us, 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yo, yo, this your boy Rick Rugg. Welcome to episode number 5. Ice Up Fantasy Football. We here. We live. You know, my co-host ready. What's going on, man?
What's happening, Barry?
It's your favorite doctor, Dr. Mario.
How's it going, guys? It's your boy, JJ.
Yo, gentlemen. Are you guys excited about our new segment? Our late sleeper picks. Any team, any other players, running back, wide receivers, tight end, defenses, kickers, you know, the whole shebang. So here we go. I'm going to start this off. My late sleeper pick, I got CD Lamb, wide receiver from the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I'm going to repeat that one more time so you guys know what I'm saying, okay? So you guys can actually get it. How the hell did CeeDee Lamb fall to the freaking Cowboys at the 17th pick of the draft in the first round? How did that happen? Now, he's being drafted as wide receiver 36. I get it. Amari Cooper is the number one wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. And they got Michael Gallup, who he is one of my most underrated players. And, I mean, think about this lineup right now for the Cowboys. Number one, they have one of the best offensive lines in football. Number two, they got Dak Prescott, who I think is a little bit overrated, but, you know, we shall see. He's trying to get paid. He's trying to set the market on the QBs. He wants to get like $136 million. I know he signed his franchise tender, but I don't think he's worth all that money. Just my personal opinion. But regardless, as far as talent-wise, I love the Cowboys. They're so stacked offensive-wise. I mean, think about this. Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Jarwin, Zeke, Tony Pollard, and Prescott. Think about that for a second. That's an insane amount of firepower. They're going to score and put up points and be in every game. CeeDee Lamb's talent is crazy, man. Now, in Oklahoma, his last 2 years, in 2018, he has 65 receptions for almost 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns, okay? That's crazy numbers. And then he followed up the next year, which is last year, 2019. He has 62 receptions, 1,300 yards, 14 touchdowns. Are you kidding me? That kind of productivity at a college level, he has to be the top of the draft period. That's why I don't understand why he fell down to number 17. And if I was Jerry Jones, yeah, they have a lot of holes in the secondary, a safety. I just think that he made the right move. You know, he didn't want to pass on Des Bryant. He did take him. He took a risk. Everybody passed him. And look, it panned out pretty good for the Cowboys. Now, to me, yes. Now there's reports that this is going to be the first time 3 wide receivers are going to get 1,000 yards. And then this is another inside track that I think everybody's kind of missing out on. The Cowboys were ranked number 6 in points last year. Yes, they were playing a lot of catch-up games, but they were first in total yards gained. And yet, I think their offense is going to be a lot better this year. They got Mike McCarthy. Are you kidding me? Bye-bye, Garrett. You know, McCarthy's smart. He's on the level of Sean Payton, but he just couldn't deal with the headache of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is just too much of a diva. But let's get back to the Cowboys. Are going to lead the lead in scoring. And right now, also, Zeke has a chip on his shoulder. A few experts are calling him that he's slowing down. But now, hey, you got an angry Zeke. You got QB that's going to have to prove himself because he needs to get that contract. And then you got Amari Cooper who's going to let everybody know he's still the alpha dog in that team. You know, Gallup right now, I'm sure he has a chip on his shoulder. Like, y'all really drafted CeeDee Lamb? Yeah, he makes us better. You know, I'm 1A too. I'm 1B. And now you see CeeDee Lamb, crazy. To me, CeeDee Lamb, his player comparison that I had him at the time of the draft, a combination of two players, DeAndre Hopkins and Anquan Boldin. That's a dog. That's a dog right there. Yards after the catch, he can run up and go get it. He can do those wheel rounds. You know, to me, that's just a pure beast. And he's getting drafted as the 36th wide receiver in the draft. I get it, people. I get it. He's a rookie. I get it. Think about the numbers that I'm giving you. Cowboys were number 6 in offense and number 1 in total yards. It's just going to go way up. And now I'm actually starting to believe that they are going to have the best 3 wide receiver combo in the league. And I'm starting to believe that they are going to have 1,000 yards, every single one of them. CeeDee Lamb, to me, he should not be getting drafted that far down. So that's my sleeper pick. Hope you guys liked it. Let me know what you guys think. I want to hear you guys.
I completely agree with you. I'm like, that offense is going to be unstoppable. Prescott did throw for the most yards out of all QBs last year under that O-line. I'm like, they are one of my picks to go at least second round of the playoffs, maybe even the Super Bowl.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Well, Rick, I have to go the other way, unfortunately. If your job was to convince me on the Cowboys, congrats, you sold me on the Cowboys. However, to draft CeeDee Lamb, the jury's still out on how I feel like. Yes, the offense looks great on paper, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, you know, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, the number one O-line. But it's happened to me before where something looks good on paper, but on the field, it's totally different. Point in case, Baker Mayfield with the Cleveland Browns. There's so many weapons around, but you don't know what to do with it or how to spread the love around. I also feel like we still have to see a preseason game to find out what the juries are. We don't know what party's going to draw, but if it's going to work out. We still got to see how they have chemistry on the field, Dak and CeeDee.
I have to agree with you, Rick. I really like that CeeDee Lamb shared this season could be the year there will be three wide receivers gaining 1,000 yards. Last time a team did that, I believe, was the 2008 Arizona Cardinals when Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and also Cole Breston each gained 1,000 yards. That's just crazy to even say. Three wide receivers in the same team gaining 1,000 yards. Cowboys have the firepower to do so, though, so it's going to be exciting to watch Michael Gallup, Amari Cooper, and CeeDee Lamb with Dak Prescott throwing the ball. Also, CeeDee Lamb, I'm upset that he did land to the Cowboys at 17th overall pick. The reason why is the Niners, they were hungry for a wide receiver, and they had the option to draft him. CeeDee Lamb, he's one of the most complete wide receivers coming out of the draft. He's played with Heisman-caliber quarterbacks in the past. He's played with Baker Mayfield, and last season, he also played with Jalen Hurst. He's easy to gain some chemistry with all these new quarterbacks.
No, definitely. You know, and another thing that this was a year where this wide receiver draft was the deepest it's been, completely loaded. So, I mean, the jury's still going to be out there. We were going to be out. But when you start thinking about wide receivers, three wide receivers on the same team that can possibly get 1,000 yards in this fantasy era, it's crazy. I'm excited. Like, I'm not a Cowboys fan. I'm a fan of the talent. Even if the Cowboys make it to the playoffs, the Super Bowls, number one, I don't think they're going to be able to handle the 49ers, plain and simple. I just don't think they're going to be able to knock them off.
Sippin' on some rock till it's 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat till it's 8 o'clock.
This is Lights Up Fantasy.
How's it going, guys? For my late sleeper pick, it's, of course, from the West Coast. None other than Justin Jackson.
What?
Nah.
What?
So the reason why I believe he's going to be like a deep, deep sleeper is because, first of all, Anthony Lynn likes running a 1-2 punch. You know, back then when it was Melvin Gordon got, you know, the first two carries. Then it was Austin Eckler. But now with Gordon gone, I feel like they're going to use Austin Eckler more as also like a slot receiver, catching a few of those passes. So they need a running back. So I feel like he is going to be getting a lot of carries, a lot of touchdowns. Even though he is injury prone, he has two injuries under his belt that hasn't stopped him from making eye-popping moves or plays on limited snaps when he's on the field. I'm like, I don't know if you saw a few of the game. I mean, well, most of them were Austin Eckler because, you know, Melvin Gordon was out. But I'm like, they run the ball heavy. I just can't wait to see Justin Jackson running down the field. Even though they did draft Joshua Kelly in the draft, I still don't feel like Joshua Kelly is a second string running back. I still feel like, you know, he's still third string. He needs a lot more practice, you know, in the NFL, more reps. I really feel like this year, Justin Jackson can be the Raheem Mostert of last year, bro. No one expected that. Everyone thought it was Matt Breida. You know, it was the Matt Breida show with Tevin Coleman. Raheem Mostert came at midseason and just blew everyone out. I really feel like Justin Jackson can do that. For me, he's a must draft, not in the early rounds, but somewhere like towards maybe 7th round, depending on how deep is your league, or a must handcuff. He is going to be an outbreak player this year.
First of all, you caught me off guard with this pick, but you just sold me on it. I'm going to buy some stock on Justin Jackson right now. He's a must handcuff. I think he's going to see a lot of action. I think he's going to get a lot of carries. The only knock on Eckler is that he does not get no goal line carries. He's your typical small running back with a lot of agility, but he's not your power running back that you need when you're in the goal line. And Justin Jackson, I like it.
I have to agree with my boy JJ here. I think Justin Jackson is definitely poised for a breakout year. I think he could definitely be the Raheem Mostert, meaning the big surprise amongst running backs this season. He's a 7th-round pick drafted in the 2018 draft. Every time they ask him to step up, he has. He's a third-string running back, and I like what I've seen in terms of productivity so far. JJ definitely sold me on the pick, and if he happens to fall into my lap in the later rounds, I will most definitely consider drafting him. This will be the first year with no preseason games. It's going to be interesting how people coach fantasy, because sometimes, you know, we do homework. We watch the preseason games as a way to do homework. Who's getting it? Who's not? Who's dropping the balls? And this year, it will really be interesting to see how people draft without any preseason game.
Honestly, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. A lot of the NFL players, they never like preseason. They always wanted to cut down to two games, one game. Mario, to your point, you're right. The depth on a team, and it sucks, man. You know, like Jorge brought it up on two episodes ago. We are going to see some players that they never gotten the opportunity, and they're going to take the best advantage of their opportunity. You know, they've been waiting for their time to shine. And with a lot of players up to now, there's going to be a few diamonds on the rough. You know what I'm saying?
I don't like Justin Jackson at all, not even sleeper status. He's a waiver wire type of guy right now. I'm going to break down a little bit of Eckler's stats. He's a pretty durable running back. He started playing in 2017, and he was able to play all 16 games. On 2018, he got a little better at running back, started getting more carries, and played 14 games. And last season was his best season, which is the reason why the Los Angeles Chargers felt comfortable dropping Melvin Gordon. He actually played all 16 games, was able to get 550 yards rushing. But not only that, he's a good pass catching running back. Last season, he was able to get 990 yards, 90 receptions, meaning he's going to play a lot of third downs, because on the third downs, that's where you want your pass catchers to be. So I don't think that Justin Jackson's going to get the ball a lot during the season where he could create some type of fantasy relativity.
I can see that. Like I said, you know, like Austin Eckler, I was trying to draft him in every league. I know how good he can be. But like I said, you know, there's going to be a lot of times they keep a running back on they put him in as a wide receiver in the slot position or somewhere else. Who do you think is going to be the backup? I don't think he's going to steal the starting position from Austin Eckler, but, you know, he'll be up there.
You know what the real Jorge basically said? He's going to go on Amazon.com. He's going to order you some tissue so you can cry about your sleeper pick.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
My late sleeper pick this year is Hayden Hurst. You may recognize him. He's a former tight end of the Baltimore Ravens. He had 3 touchdowns last season, but he showed up most when it mattered most during playoffs. He finished the game with 13 receptions, 463 receiving yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. He caught 1 regular touchdown in the regular season. He was with the Ravens. He was drafted, and later on, he was traded to the Atlanta Falcons. Once traded to the Atlanta Falcons, I think Hayden Hurst will have no problem adapting to their playing style and filling in the shoes that Austin Hooper once filled. I also want to add that Atlanta Falcons switched up their offensive coordinator to Dirk Koetter, former coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Dirk Koetter loves spreading his love to the Titans, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, as well as the Jacksonville Jaguars. I also want to add that every star tight end we've seen, Rob Gronkowski, Tony Gonzalez, George Kittle, Hunter Henry, in their third year, they always seem to break out. It's been the never-ending pattern. This is Hayden Hurst's third year, and I have no doubt in my mind this man will break out and have a tremendous fantasy football season.
All right, well, I mean, my personal opinion, actually, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. Hayden Hurst is my top 5 tight end this year. And you guys, we can listen to this at the end of this year, and I want all you guys to take me out to eat, because he will be a top 5 tight end, and I'll guarantee it.
Ricardo was so hyped about Trey Burton 2 years ago, or a year ago, and he ended up trading him into week 6 to Albert.
I thought you were going to mention our boy Mark.
No, it was Albert.
Hey, you know what? I like to, you know, on that topic, I would like to give a shout out to everybody in JJ's league, Mario, Albert, Mark, Gel, Dante, the dog. Oh yeah, Browns. And we're gonna welcome in the real Jorge,
from 3-time champion, back to back.
Well, we shall see. All right, like this Mario can tell you, we ain't no minor leagues over here, bro. So yes, that's my take on Hayden Hurst, JJ.
For me, yeah, he is one of my sleepers. Did plan to draft him last year, but someone kept him on his bench. Kind of glad he didn't do that well. He was one of my picks that I wanted to have last year, but this year I feel like, now being in Atlanta, you know, back with Tony Gonzalez days, you know, I feel like Matt Ryan's gonna have another good tight end to be able to throw it. You know, Julio Jones is always double coverage. I'm not really familiar with our running backs right now, but I feel like, you know, they're just added another weapon, and if he falls to me, I will be drafting him.
Thank you, JJ, you know, give feedback on that. Now we're going to go to the real Jorge, the so-called 3-time champ on another league that doesn't count. Real hasta la muerte, cabrón.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with Rick's opinion on Hayden Hurst. Reason why is because I don't see him as a top 5 tight end. He is not a stud in my eyes. There hasn't been any production, but he is a sleeper pick. I feel like he could fall off easily on the draft, and you could find him in the later rounds. He's definitely a tight end you should keep in your roster the whole season, just in case he starts getting hot and Matt Ryan starts getting hot and their quarterback. He's definitely capable of producing a lot of points for fantasy this season. I will keep an eye out for Hayden Hurst in the later rounds of the draft, but definitely don't go out reaching.
Definitely. So you actually agreeing with me too. because I'm putting him in the top five.
You're making Hayden Hurst sound like he's about to be like Gronk.
The way I do my rankings, I do all of the analytics and numbers. And the most successful part of Matt Ryan's games, besides Julio Jones, is the dump ups underneath to the tight end. That's the way the offense is built in Atlanta. That's why I think he's going to be a tough fight. But, you know, like I said, we can wait.
This is Lights Up Fantasy.
My sleeper pick this year for 2020 NFL draft. He has to have one breakout year. I feel it in my gut. This is the year for him. And I'm pulling for John Ross down in Cincinnati, playing for the Bengals. John Ross, he is in a little bit of a crowded situation currently at wide receiver. Bengals did just draft another wide receiver with the 33rd pick in the 2020 draft this year. They drafted T. Higgins out of Clemson. He had three full seasons. First season, he had 345 yards. The second season, he had 936. And his last season, he actually went over 1,000 yards, gaining 1,100 yards that year. And also, his touchdown productivity is good. 2 touchdowns, 12 touchdowns, and 13 touchdowns in this final season. The reason why I keep talking about T. Higgins is because he's filling in at the 3 spot in Cincinnati, which is usually assigned to John Ross. John Ross, they either line him up in the outside or in the middle of the field so he could gain those long yards. I'm going to give you a little bit of history of John Ross. So John Ross, you guys, he came out of the 2017 NFL draft. He was a high-profile player coming out of that year's draft. He was in the top 10. He was picked number 9 overall. In his career so far, he does not have a lot of stat production because the entire 2017 season, he was held without a catch that year, which was disappointing. His career stats, he has 49 receptions, 716 receiving yards, and 10 touchdowns in his entire 3-year career. His 2017 season was cut short as he got a shoulder injury. Moving on to his 2018 season, he started to create some points on the fantasy boards. He was able to get 13 receptions and gain 200 yards in 8 games. Last year, he actually doubled his stat production, gaining 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. Also, he had 28 receptions. John Ross, he's in for a breakout season. From 2017 to 2019, each season, he kept doubling his stats. So if last season he was able to gain 500 yards and 3 touchdowns, I feel like this year he could finally break out and gain 1,000 yards. Now that the Cincinnati Bengals drafted Joe Burrow, first overall pick in this year's draft, I did also a little bit of research on Zach Taylor. Zach Taylor used to be the quarterback's coach for the LA Rams. And back in the day, the LA Rams actually did reach the Super Bowl recently in 2018 with Jared Goff. Jared Goff was also a first overall pick. So I feel like Zach Taylor, he's good with quarterbacks. He could groom Joe Burrow and be able to distribute the ball out a lot. Also, if AJ Green is not 100% this year when he comes back, definitely is going to be a void to fill at that wide receiver spot. So John Ross could easily move up in the depth chart as the season goes on and injuries begin to unfold. John Ross also, he's an average draft pick in the 13th round this year. So he definitely is going on and later in the draft, so don't reach out to him too early in the rounds.
That's a great insight from for a player that I call him Mr. Glass because he gets injured every 3 games. I see the potential. He has the record for the fastest 40 in the 40-yard dash.
His 40-yard dash is 4.22, Rick. So he's definitely got killer speed. He might even be faster than Tyreek Hill, who some think he's the fastest in the NFL so far.
Just to follow up on what you said, Real Jorge, I like the talent, but let's be honest, Kevin White had a lot of talent and never panned out. There's a lot of players in the NFL that come in and out with a lot of talent, and the number one thing that kills him is productivity and injuries. In John Ross' case, it's injuries. Talent is there. The numbers are there, like you just gave us. I like him a lot, and I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. I drafted him in the 13th pick of my wide receiver in my Dynasty League this year. I know what he's all about. I know the kind of stats that he can put up. My thing is, he just gets injured a lot. And you're right. Great situation with Joe Burrow. Like you said, if AJ Green doesn't stay healthy, he's right there. But T. Higgins, he's a damn beast. He's AJ Green 2.0. The reason why he didn't go that high in the draft is because Clemson was blowing their opponents away by 30 and 40 points. He didn't need to be on the field that much. T. Higgins, he'd be right there with CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy. If it wasn't for the fact that they were blowing out teams by late second quarter, he didn't really need to be on the field. And go look at the tape and go look at the stats. T. Higgins can run every route that there is. John Ross is, to me, he's like a Tyler Lockett kind of player with a lot of speed. If he can just manage to get healthy, you're right, he's a great sleeper pick. I'll stash him at the end of my bench and hope for the best. If he gets hot, great. We got to see that chemistry with Joe Burrow. But that's my take on John Ross. Great pick, man.
I have to go the other way on Jorge's pick. Unfortunately, I am not sold on the John Ross train. As my Uncle Rich said earlier, his nickname amongst us is Mr. Glass because the man can't stay healthy. long enough for a full NFL season or to keep him on the bench. Usually, when I have had him in the past, he's just taking up a spot on my bench. I also don't have much confidence in rookie quarterback Joe Burrow. Yes, he's a sought-out after celebrated prospect coming out of college, but I still feel like we need to see him practice on the field, see how he transitions to the NFL role. I feel like it's Baker Mayfield all over again, as I mentioned earlier, whereas too many players, not enough love to go around. I don't trust Joe Burrow with the arsenal of A.J. Green, T. Higgins, John Ross, not to mention you got Joe Mixon in the back. Got to give him some love. There's a lot of love to go around. I have to wait and see if Joe Burrow can evenly distribute the love amongst his whole team and lead his team, hopefully, to victory. And I think it shouldn't be that much of a big deal, because I believe he's in a pretty easy division, right? His only big problem would be, in my opinion, the Steelers, the Browns. Baker Mayfield, I have no faith in him, not even with the new coaching staff. Big Ben, I think his best years are behind him. He's barely hanging on to what little bit of career he has. And we're going to see if things are the same after that elbow surgery he had. Lamar Jackson, we all saw how he broke out last season. I think this is his division now and he's here to stay.
I'm actually going to have to agree with Jorge. I actually feel like this is going to be an outbreak year for John Ross. Now that's just to say if he can stay healthy and if he has good chemistry and, you know, a flow with Joe Burrow, because it's a rookie. When you're a rookie, there's all those rookie mistakes, the interceptions, fumbles, you're not reading the defense right. A lot of things that can go wrong, but I will be drafting John Ross. I've also seen him in Madden. He is fire. He's a really good player there. And if, you know, I feel like, you know, they follow a lot of the good trades. And from the games that I've seen, he has that top speed. And, you know, Joe Burrow can throw that ball deep to him, because I don't think A.J. Green, I think he's Mr. Glass, because he's been fragile as hell these last, what, 2-3 seasons. Maybe Bruce Willis is coaching that team, because everyone's over there made out of glass. Joe Mixon, too. Unbreakable, Mr. Glass, you know, with Jorge. John Ross is a late sleeper, like he said, you know, maybe somewhere around the 11th to 14th pick, you know. I'm like, he's giving us free knowledge, so I'm like, and he's giving away some of my secrets, too. So if you guys don't want to pick him, that's fine. I'll take him when I get him.
Yeah, we know. Just so you're going to take out trash-ass Justin Jackson.
Hey, we'll see who's in the Super Bowl.
That's cool.
Don't bullshit me.
This is... Fantasy.
So now let's do a lightning round of questions.
I have a quick question for you gentlemen, or more for a topic of debate for you guys, but also our fans listening at home could chime in also. Maybe hit us up one time and give us their opinion or feedback or comment on the page below. My question for you today is, given the recent injury of Deebo Samuel, we'll know the time window he will be out will be approximately 4 to 6 weeks, 6 being, you know, the longest, 4 being the minimum. I wanted to ask my colleagues as well as our fans listening at home, which 49ers wide receiver benefits the most from this injury? And by benefits the most, I mean, who has the ability or the chance to step up and be that guy, show them that they're able to fill in the void if something were to happen? And the choices I have are Trent Taylor, Kendrick Bourne, Brandon Ayuk, Dante Pettis, so we're still waiting to see that spark. We've seen glimpses of it, but we're still waiting on him to be that guy. George Kittle, Garrett Selleck, or brand newly acquired weapon, Jordan Reed.
The guy that should take advantage, Dante Pettis. Like you said, we've seen flashes and glimpses of what he can do. He's just been in the doghouse, and Kyle Shanahan is known to put players that are not performing at a high level that they should be performing in the doghouse. Kyle Shanahan has done that when he was a coordinator with the Texans, with the Browns, and with Redskins, RIP to the Redskins. Yeah, I think Dante Pettis is the player that I'm looking for him to finally step up. We need this wide receivers. My number two receiver, Jalen Hurts. I think he is the difference maker, because remember, he used to be a running back, and he converted to a wide receiver, and he still got drafted in the third round. How good can he be from a running back to a wide receiver? And he was a top-ranked running back, so the talent is there. And I think Jalen Hurts, if he stays healthy, watch out, people. He can do it all. He can be the next Delanie Walker for us. Mark my words. Delanie Walker, Jordan Reed, George Kittle.
For me, I want to say, yes, Jalen Hurts. I can see him doing it. He had a lot of good games. You know, we've seen a little potential already. But for me, it's going to have to be Kendrick Bourne. He was one of the most clutch players last year. Before we got Sanders, it was Kendrick Bourne, a receiver getting targeted a lot by Jimmy G. Jimmy G did screw him up a few throws in the end zone last year. I don't know if you guys recall, twice he overthrew the ball to him in the end zone. Those were wide open plays, and they can work on their chemistry. Kendrick Bourne will be the top three, depending how the new draft prospect does, and if we get Deebo Samuel back to normal, you know, because with his injury, who knows if he's still going to be, you know, good to go right away. He might have a setback.
I have to go with the other guys, the underdogs, Brandon Ayuk. and also Trent Taylor. I think they're going to get some more playing time this year. There has to be a reason why the Niners have to have kept Trent Taylor on the roster for so long. And when he has played, whether it's been on the preseason or maybe one game in the regular season, he has been one of the highest rated players at his position. He's a really good route runner in the slot. So Trent Taylor could be utilized more this year. Also, Brandon Ayuk, there's a reason why the Niners drafted him in the first round. I'm excited to see what each guy has to bring to the table this year.
All right, with that, for today, episode 5, thank you guys for joining us. I hope you guys loved our late sleeper picks. Hope you guys took some notes. I know I did. Hope you guys like our picks. Thank you for listening.
Yee yee. Thank you, Beria. And remember, Hayden Hurst, you heard it from the doctor. Don't sleep on him.
And don't forget about Mr. Fragile, a.k.a. John Ross. He's in for a breakout season. Don't listen to the haters. You're going to be sleeping on this sleeper pick if you don't choose him.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Your boy, JJ. Don't forget about Justin Jackson. These guys don't know what they're talking about. He is on my top 20 breakout players this year. I mean, don't sleep on him. Handcuff him. Keep him on your bench. He'll have a few good games, especially if Austin Ekeler gets injured.
This is Rick Rock, Uncle Rick, a.k.a. you guys can call me Vince Lombardi, pretty much. I was the first champion. So
Rick Lombardi.
Yeah, Rick Lombardi. There you go. Don't forget, man. You guys, I know you guys know talent, but remember, CeeDee Lamb is the real deal. Just one little note about CeeDee Lamb. He's wearing number 88. And 88 has been worn, but nothing of Hall of Famers. Michael Irvin, number 88 with the Cowboys. So you got to bring it. You better come with it. CeeDee Lamb will bring it. And that's all I got to say about that. All right, well, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. This was episode 5. I Sub Fantasy Football. Catch us back for episode 6. And don't forget, listen to us in iTunes, Spotify. We live. Thank you guys for supporting us. Till next time. Sipping on Ciroc till 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat till 8 o'clock. This is Eyes Up Fantasy.